in God's people. So the Spirit-filled Spirit-filled life is evident by the ongoing giving of thanks. Giving thanks always for all things to God. And such thanksgiving not only recognizes the existence of God, Hebrews says those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. We believe that he exists and we come to him in faith, repentance and faith, and we believe that he not only exists but that his sovereign involvement in our lives, you know, is each and every day in each believer as well as in the church as a whole. And this kind of life recognizes that what happens in the lives of believers is from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no shifting shadow, James 1:17 says. And that even suffering is a gift from God. May not like that phrase, but it comes right out of the scripture as well. Philippians 1:29, not only has been given to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake. It's a gift of God. He graciously grants us that. And also that, you know, what comes from God is for our good and for his glory. This kind of thanksgiving recognizes and responds, to God's gracious involvement in our lives as a result of his unfathomable wisdom, his inscrutable wisdom. He knows what is the best end, and he knows how to move people to that end. Praise him. And we were singing about that end, that we would get to go be with him. So ours is to be a life or lives that are characterized by gratitude and thankfulness, a life filled with contentment. Is your life content?
Yeah.
It should be. Yeah. Contentment with what God brings us for our good. But I think it is the inclusiveness of Paul's command in Ephesians 5:20 that can catch us a little off guard. Always giving thanks for all things. Always for all things. So the Spirit-filled life heart sees God's gracious, wise, and loving hand in every experience and circumstance that comes from God. And it is for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:29 says, to make us more like our loving Savior. Such people know that in the difficult trials and circumstances, as well in the blessings and abundance, we were singing about both of those, God's sovereign hand is directing the affairs of our lives. He's directing our lives. We think we plan our lives, but it's the Lord who directs our steps. Proverbs 16 says. So such people know that God will not allow their foot to be moved, because he neither sleeps nor slumbers. Psalm 121:3. They know that nothing shall befall them. That God is not providentially planned for them. Such was true of Jesus, right? He knew that the Father had planned for him to go to the cross, and he was willing to do it. Not because he longed for it, but because it was providentially planned by God to provide salvation for people. Such people know, they understand that he who guides the fish through the paths of the sea and provides for the animals who wander through the woods, and who knows every time a sparrow drops to the ground, that he knows their every need, and that he will provide lovingly and abundantly for them. And consequently, they are ready to give thanks to him who is so good. So such people, Spirit-filled people, are thankful. And then they focus on God's love, not on their lack. They focus on his love, not on their lack. And they contemplate God's providence rather than pain. The pain of living in a fallen world with fallen people.
and they have confidence in, not confusion over their circumstances. Is that you? I hope it is. Should be. So, and it should not go unstated, I think, that this doesn't mean this command to give thanks, always give giving thanks in all things. It doesn't mean that we are to thank God for the evil that takes place in the world. Like, thank you, God, for the evil. It's wonderful. No, no. It's not calling us to do that, whether that is at large or, you know, the evil events that personally touch our lives. I mean, God takes no pleasure in the workings of Satan and of demons, right? And it's not like we thank you, God, that Satan is the god of this evil world and he shoots fiery darts at me. And that's not what Paul is saying here. But what he is saying is that we must recognize God's ability to take all that occurs for nothing. Nothing occurs outside of his sovereign providence, and that he uses it for good in our lives, right? He causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's something that's true of every believer. They love God. Believers love God. Amen. And they know I'm called according to his purpose, and his purpose is to make me more like his son. And so whatever, God, you bring into my life, I give you thanks for it. Not for the pain, but for the providence of it. Not to be overcome by it, but to be overcomers in it. Right? God is good to us. And so my point is that while we're always to give thanks for all things, that doesn't mean that we necessarily give thanks to God for everything specifically. We're not called upon to thank God for the disease itself. God, thank you for this cancer that I have. No, I don't think we have to thank God for the cancer. It's a disease that racks a human body, oftentimes takes it. We're not to required to give thanks to God for the evil activities of others or for blatant sin that is done against us or by us. We don't give thanks for that. No, a wife does not need to give thanks for her husband's act of adultery. Parents don't need to give thanks to God for their children's rebellion and disobedience. And a child does not have to thank God for abusive parents. Or employees don't need to thank God for being treated unfairly by their employer or the other employees. And on a larger level, I think there would be the few who would press Paul's command to mean that we should thank God for the acts of terrorists who kill indiscriminately or very purposely, or for the many lives that are impacted or are being lost through what's happening in our world right now, through the wars that are taking place. None of us would thank God. Thank you, God, that 1,200 Jewish people were killed on October 7. Or thank you, God, for the thousands of people that are dying through the war. I don't think we need to thank God for that. We thank God that he is who he is and he's in control of everything, including that. So we don't need to thank God for the growing evil of cities and states that are succumbing to the woke, you know, the woke view of life, particularly on matters of sexual identity and transgenderism and that kind of thing. We should not give thanks for the babies that are being killed in their mother's womb. And yet, in all of those circumstances, we must thank God that he's still in control of the affairs of mankind as well as in our own individual lives. And we must thank him that he is trustworthy, and we thank him that is in his loving providence. It includes his ability to take all things and work them together for our good and his glory. We must thank him that our personal future and our country's future has already been planned. It's been planned by God, and nothing will thwart his plans. I mean, who can stand in the way of the Almighty? Most of all, We should be thankful that God chose to reveal himself to us in the person of his beloved Son, the second person of the Trinity. And not only reveal himself, but reveal that he was willing to love us by giving his Son. He was pleased to crush him, according to Isaiah 53. So they might bring many sons and daughters to glory. We should be thankful because God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And that he will give us all things that we need for life and godliness. So there's so much that we can give thanks for, right? So the mark of a person who does not know God, it's unthankfulness. Romans 1 says that, and the wrath of God is being poured out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. For even though they knew God, they did not give thanks to him. Even though they knew that God was there, that's what that meant. They didn't know him personally. They recognized there's a God. They refused to give thanks to him. That's the life of an unbeliever. But the mark of a spirit-filled believer is to always be giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. So such people are not anxious about anything, but through prayer and thanksgiving, they give their request unto God, Philippians 4, 6. And such a person is abounding in gratitude, according to Colossians 2:20 or 2:7. And such a person offers up a sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips that confess his name, Hebrews 13, verse 15 says. So are you ready to give up that sacrifice of praise? It doesn't really cost us a lot. Maybe it just costs us our fear. You know, the fear of standing up and talking in front of other people. Anyone have that? I've thought over the years, and when I started teaching the Bible many decades ago now, is like I was fearful when I'd get up in front of people. I'm not too fearful now, particularly with you, because you're my family. If I get invited to speak somewhere else and I don't know people, I get that same butterflies and a little bit of anxiety. Truth is, they're probably God's people too. They're my family as well, and I shouldn't be fearful. And that should be true for us as, you know, we give you the opportunity to share. Just cast that fear aside, okay? Declare the praise of God. Be thankful in the hearing of his people. This is what the Bible actually encourages us to do. Let me read you just a few passages, and then we'll have like half an hour to hear your praise. So it talks about declaring our praise or our thanksgiving to others in these scriptures. So in Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10, it says this, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. Well, you only remember them if you hear them. Hear them from other people in particular. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. It goes on all the way to the end, just celebrating God and what he does for his people. But the point is, this is done in the congregation, in the accompaniment of God's people. They need to be reminded of these things. In Psalm 40, verse 5, and then verses 9 through 11, it says this, "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you." Now, I will proclaim and tell of them. If there are more than can be told, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, Lord, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. So if he doesn't restrain that from us, we should not restrain our lips from proclaiming praise and thanks to him in the congregation, in the hearing of people. It goes on in Psalm 71, verses 15 through 21 to say, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. I just can't stop talking about it all day long. I love that. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. Remind them? The congregation. I will remind them of your righteousness. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who to come. Your righteousness, oh God, reaches to the high heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who's like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. Will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. There's that theme of he brings hardship and he brings blessing. And we need to proclaim his salvation in the congregation. In Psalm 78, we'll end with this, verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that have we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. It's the lack of hearing, even in our own country, the lack of hearing of the faithfulness of God. Our country has forgotten it. Let us not forget it. So, you ready to be the sermon? Good. We got a couple mics that we can pass around. Let me just give you a quick instruction on that. When you use the mic, I do this every year, but some of you will forget in 5 minutes, so I urge you not to. So when you use the mic, test, 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 test. Okay. But right in front of your face, right in front of your mouth. It really won't work if it's here. It really doesn't work well if it's like this. Some of you can get kind of expressive when you're talking. You use your hands a lot. But that doesn't work very well. You can use one hand, but put that mic right in front of your mouth with the other hand, okay? Because we all want to hear you. And this is going on to the podcast as well. And the people that will listen to the podcast will be blessed by what you share. But they won't hear you unless you put the mic in front of your mouth. Any questions on that? Pretty clear? Okay.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And I've been thinking about this with the I was saved in 1979, and I was thinking of all the older women God has brought into my life over the years. And I was talking with one of them who's in her mid-90s now in a nursing home. And she is such an example to me of that, of trusting in God, faithful to him, loving him. We used to visit and chat about God and what he's teaching us, and it was so refreshing. So I'm thankful for the older women God has brought into my life over the years. I'm thankful for the younger women that God has allowed me to minister to and just be friends with, who go have the energy to go on hikes with me and walks with me. And I'm thankful for my peers, for those that we can just sit down over a cup of tea and enjoy each other's company. So I'm so thankful for the women God has brought into my life, and I'm thankful for my husband too.
Amen. Hands going up.
Somebody. Is there somebody ahead of me? I'm up next. Okay.
Put it right in front of your mouth there.
Okay, is that close enough?
Tip it. There you go.
Okay, good, okay. I'm thankful for our leadership and the stewardship that they show in maintaining our church and in seeking out new members for the congregation. Some years ago, the sanctuary needed painting. And rather than going out and getting a professional painter, which sometimes you don't get a good outcome with that, Pastor Spencer, Steve Richmond, they came in here and prepped this sanctuary and painted it themselves. We had a room off the lobby that needed to be modified for a nursing room. They went ahead and went in there and created the sheetrock and created a nursing room. This past summer when I was at the church on a non-Sunday day, I can't, maybe it was a sewing day for the ladies, Pastor Spencer was out there on the Elmore side of the yard mowing the grass. Last winter when we had all that snow in March and we were concerned about the integrity of the roof. Steve Richmond, I think also Rick Wagner, was up there shoveling that snow off, even using a snow blower to try to take that load, that heavy load off. As a result of that, challenge, with his body, he ended up having some recovery time after he did that. So I'm grateful for those that are involved, and they're not, a whole lot of the work that is done here at the church is done internally. I came down, I guess, with the flu. I didn't know it, but after a couple of weeks of not being able to get rid of it, my wife convinced me to go seek medical care, and I reached out to Sue and Brad Toll. Brad has a military ID. Brad took me early in the morning at 7 a.m. over to J-Bear Emergency, drove me over there and returned me home. We got into emergency and completed my visit in 1.5 hours. And then on the 9th, when we had that heavy snow, and it was wet, extremely heavy, wet snow, Brad and Sue came over to the house and helped me shovel my driveway. And then on another event, a couple of days later, we had more snow, and I didn't even reach out to them. Sue called and said, do you need us to come and help you with your snow again? So they've been real blessing to me. The people that's working in the fellowship hall all the time, Betty, is involved in so many things over there, and Greg, when Greg's here, he's always involved in multiple tasks. So we think about all these things that our fellow members do, and these are single events. They have to reoccur. But think about the Lord. The Lord gave his life for us, shed his blood, And that was a single time, but it carries forward. You don't have to do it again. He gave his life once. Amen. And now, for us that are believers, we're permanently covered, and we're going to be living with him when we leave this life. So sometimes we, like the pastor was saying, or like, I guess like Pastor Tom was saying with the football example today, just think of how more important the Lord's sacrifice and the Lord's gift to us is than things that are temporary here on earth.
Okay. Amen.
As you all know, I'm probably the most fearful person in here to speak. But I did want to offer my thanks and my praise. The first thing that I would like to be thankful for is some of the things that I've gone through in my life over the years. I am grateful that our Lord and Savior rescued me and showed me his comfort and love. And I'm really, really grateful for that, because it strengthened my love for him and my belief and my faith. I would also like to say that I belong to a great church. I love my brothers and sisters, and I know that that they love me too. The sharing that we do here at ABF is beyond words. I have had so much help from the body with things that seem so small, yet are really big things for me. An example is not knowing how to change the batteries in my flashlight. I know it sounds small, but you know, when the lights are out and you don't have fresh batteries, that really makes a difference. The beeping smoke detectors in the middle of the night, smoke detector batteries that need to be changed. I really, really love and appreciate all of you here. And I love my church. I love the fact that we are a Bible-believing church, and that I get to come to church every Sunday and not only hear the word, but it's taught to me, and I'm learning it, and it's buried in my heart. It's in my mind, it's in my heart, and I just feel so so blessed to get to hear the word every week. And my final thought, my final praise is that my oldest son has been kind of wayward and the black sheep of the family, and within the last 6 weeks or so, he has been going to church, and this morning on my way out the door, I received a text that he was baptized this morning in church, and so I'm really, really grateful and thankful for that. Answered prayers. When you pray and you are faithful with loving the Lord, and your prayers will be answered. And I am so grateful. And I love you all.
I'm thankful for the world, and I'm thankful for, I'm also thankful for our tongues to help us talk certain things, and taste things. I'm thankful for the carbon monoxide alarms, because they help us when there's carbon monoxide. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for God making the world.
Now that one knows how to hold a mic.
He knows a lot more than a lot of us do. Make this short. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for this church, that's for sure. And it's everybody in this church. I had a bad year last year with my husband. It was men and women. I mean, I think you can't name anybody that didn't do anything. But anyway, we had to go to, or we went to an assisted living. And this is a funny side of it, so I think it's, but anyway, so our trusty guys were out there. And I was at this time, I'd had no knowledge of what was going on. My mind was gone. And anyway, some neighbors or something wanted to know about the moving crew. And I said, well, you must be going to the wrong church. And that was the answer to the people that was wondering who was getting all this help. Don't ask me, so God had to be there, or I wouldn't have known to say that even. And Spencer coming and talking to my husband, I'm hoping they got the last words in, or that my husband did, so that he'll be there. And then I decided to move out. I said, I'm not staying at this place, at the assisted living. And I don't think the words were out of my mouth before the crew was there, all smiling and happy, and just moving this stuff like crazy. And then since I've been home, I've been having people who give me daily Bible studies we have every morning over the phone. I have to go to doctors and have doctor's rides. And by the way, by this with doctor's ride, another gal who had lost her friend anyway. And so she was looking for somebody to have friends with to be, you know, play cards and stuff. And so someone said, well, check with Maxine because she likes to play cards. So anyway, so we've been playing cards back and forth, and she came last Friday to the games thing. She was going to be here today, but she had her truck wouldn't start. So that was God's. And then the other side is, how many times have you lost your phone where you can't find it? And so I prayed every time I lost my thing, I would pray to God, please let me find my phone. So he answers little things. I'm not even going to say the many times that he had to find me, but it was always quickly. And I mean, I would look all over and wouldn't see it. But he answers little things, and he answers them often. So between the two, I'm still here.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm here this morning because God delayed a plane out of Nome, or I'd be at the airport picking up a cruise. So I'm praising God right now. I get to even be here this morning. He allows things to happen sometimes, and sometimes things happen that are hard to go through, and I've had a few things like that this year. But he's given me eyes to see the blessings that come from those things and the great big plan wrapped around them. And I won't go into the long list of things, but I am thankful for being given eyes to see those things when they come back around. And you see why God lets things happen with health issues and car crashes and different things going on at work. Just really thankful for being able to move through those things with God. And sometimes even sometimes even having felt a maybe a step or two away, too far away from him, he's shown me he's never been far from me. And I'm very thankful for that. I want to also say, and I don't know how many kids are in the room, but, you know, he's called me to do some things this year that I never thought I would be involved with. And I've been very, very blessed by, I would say teaching Sunday school, but I feel like I'm learning every time I'm in there. I feel have been very blessed by being a part of that ministry. It's grown me in a lot of ways, and I just pray that God would continue to use me in that way. And I want to say thank you to my church family as I just, one last thing. I've been here since, it's been a long time, since 2005, I think. And I've seen a lot of my friends go through a lot. And there's some faces that aren't here with us that have gone to be with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for my family, my church family. And the support that God has provided through that. I know I'm not the only one in the room who feels that way. We've been through a lot and we're still going through a lot. And I'm just very thankful for my family, and the teaching is incredible into that. And I just praise God for bringing me here. And welcome to all the wonderful new faces that we've seen. Thank God for drawing those to his side as well. Welcome. Amen.
I want to start with three verses. Psalm 18:32 says, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." Psalm 18:39 says, "For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued me under me those who rose up against me." And Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Needless to say, that goes with my military time, but I'm grateful for my salvation, first of all. I'm grateful for the gift of my wife that the Lord gave me. And I'm very thankful for this church. I know people, you know, have different things to be grateful about it. Mine is the fact that people have been very helpful to me, and I'm frankly not used to it. So it's been a little tough on me to accept, not because I'm trying to be prideful, but just because I'm not used to it. So I'm just very thankful for this church and the people that, you know, just say no problem, you know, which is what I say to people, no problem. Whatever you need help with, call me. And, you know, I'm not used to it in return, so I really want to say thank you without embarrassing anyone by calling them out. But it is a learning process for me, even at my age. So.
Amen. Thanks.
Hello. This is Dave. I'm sitting back here in the back row. You probably know me. I've been here about 5 or 6 times. I want to be especially thankful for the medical community. About in the middle of September, I had a heart valve replacement, and Brian Lane, who works in Providence Hospital, invited me to come as he got an opportunity to speak. And I've been here pretty much ever since, when I can make it. And my dog, Rosie, she loves this place. And I realize after hearing so many people talk that it's real easy to talk about the thankfulness in our heart that we have for so many things. In fact, I wrote a list of all the things that personally I was thankful for, but I just wanted to say one particular thing that happened to me this last week. I live in Alaska housing. I'm retired and I have a very limited income, and I was speaking to my sister about, I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it this next month. And I don't remember saying that to her, but in our conversation, I apparently said that. And then last week, I got a check in the mail from her and her husband for $500, which I've never ever asked her for money, or it was just a blessing that she said, you know, after I hung up, God just said, send your brother some money. And so I'm very thankful that the Holy Spirit prompted her to help me out, so I'm going to make it, no problem. And that's what I wanted to say, that if we all pay attention to the things that God is trying to tell us and show us, then we can, we can talk about that, and we can encourage each other, because I believe that God speaks through His Word and through the Holy Spirit and through one another. And that's what makes our lives so valuable to me.
Okay, well, the Lord didn't give me the spirit of fear, so I'll just speak right up. I've been, when I first started coming here, it was because I would pass by the church every day on my way to work, and I said to myself, I'm going to stop in there one of these days. And the Lord brought me here, and I'm so very thankful. I'm not only thankful for that, for the church body, how precious. My most precious gift from the Lord, of course, is my salvation, and I'm so thankful. And knowing that I'm going to be with Him in eternity, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thought. It's so encouraging. And I'd like to encourage you all, too, that when we go through these hard times, and I've had a couple of hard times, but I've had wonderful, wonderful support from members in this body to help me out. And I try to take responsibility to be more resilient myself and overcome a lot of things myself, not out of pride, but because you people are also precious to me. I don't like to weigh on you, although I know it, you bring glory to God in everything you do, and I thank you very much.
Well, I guess I'll talk first, or last, or maybe after Betty, but as you all know, Diane and I have been traveling and stuff, and we have been going to many, many different churches. We make sure that we go every Sunday. And the fellowship that we get, it's almost as good as here. I mean, we went to one church, and the people were so inviting and so encouraging. It felt like I was home. I was, because I was with the brethren. What an amazing gift that God has given those that believe in Him, those that have relied on Him for their salvation. What a God we serve. I mean, what more can you ask? What more can you be thankful for? Him. He is the one that has given us the gift of thanks. God is good all the time.
Amen.
And all the time God is good. Praise His holy name.
Joel, is that mic battery going, or I was having a hard time hearing?
Test.
the blessings, that God has blessed me with are too numerous to me. But I do want to thank him so much. This past week, he gave us the most beautiful, beautiful sunsets. I all day long, I praised him for the beauty of the sunset that he gave. I think in Matthew, it was a rebuke from Jesus that read in the morning, and the sailors take warning and read at night, the sailors delight. Is that in Matthew? Anyway, I delighted in seeing those beautiful sunsets. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Some of you know that I've been in this church for a long time. In fact, 42 years ago this month, my husband and I and our wee little baby Chad came to a church called Bible Truth Gospel Chapel. And over the years, the name changed, places changed, the church split, our family grew, and it grew, and it grew, to where we filled this whole role and took up the next role part of it. Then changes came again, and I'm not a person who really likes change. I like the status quo. Good changes are fine, but some of the other ones in there have been several that have been really hard. But this church has been a church that's come around me, and if you know anything about our family's lives, my husband, my son, and another son are all involved in investments. One of them helps people to get out of debt so they can invest. Another son has a business for which the younger son works to help invest to save their future, as did my husband. But there's another kind of investment that I think we learn most of all from Jesus Christ. He laid down his life so that we could live and live a victorious life for him and invest our lives in others. And this whole room is filled with people who invest. Years ago, there was an article in the Daily News, I believe, or might have been that more conservative one, the Anchorage Times, where the woman that was writing the editorials encourage people to get into a community. Whether it's a community of people that play cards, quilt, go to Rotary Clubs, Lions Club, or whatever, and then she mentioned going to church. Well, here we are a community, but it's more than a community. It's a body, the body of Christ. And I just think of yesterday or last week going out there into the fellowship hall and seeing all those tables all set up with a salt and pepper shaker. Now that sounds like, well, how are you thankful for that? I'm thankful because in an hour and a half those tables were filled with people sitting down eating a meal that was prepared by people who invested their hours to prepare that meal and clean up after that meal, and helping one another. You weren't the only ones who had your driveway shoveled last week. There were several others that received help from that same couple and others. Praise God for those who are lifted up by the Lord to give their help, their bodies, their strength to help. And I want to thank this wonderful couple here, Chris and Kathleen. last week, you were talking to a couple ahead of us, and you mentioned your grandchildren, whose names all started with B, and you were embarrassed. No, it's because you have invested in my family so much that our six B children, you claimed as yours. I love it. No, you're not losing it. You're giving it. You're giving love, and I appreciate it. So thank you for those who invested. I can't name you all, but there's a quilting lady here who has given her life to help many, and others have learned so much about the value of quilting. It's not just about sewing. It's that body life that means so much. And thank you, Pastor Spencer, for faithfully giving the word of God. We need it, and it is so life-giving. Thank you, Tom, for shoveling out last week. So we could come here and fellowship after 24 to 30 inches of snow that could have kept people from getting here. But not only was it shoveled, it wasn't icy. Thank you so much. God bless you.
I'm very grateful for the sewing club. Otherwise, I would never have started attending here. I have very much great thanksgiving for Sue and Brad. They came. She contacted me by text and said, "How are you doing with all the snow?" And I said, "Well, I won't be there at church because it's wet snow, and my snowblower doesn't blow wet snow. It's heavy like concrete." Because I was cutting a path through my driveway. I'm a double car driveway with a one car garage. I don't have two cars, but that's the way we bought the house. That was the property that my husband and I chose. And so I was shoveling out a small path so I could get through thigh high snow to get to the mailbox just to see if I had mail. And so I'm getting a text because I was warming up inside, and I was like, "How are you doing with all this snow?" And I'm going, "Well, I won't be there at church. It's wet snow, and it's heavy, and I'm exhausted." And Brad and Sue said, "We'll be over there at 11 a.m. the next day." And they came, and with their help, the whole driveway was cleared out, but they said, "Don't call us back." They were exhausted more than I was because they were carrying bigger shovels than I did. And they were carrying bigger loads. And I said, "But you can't put it on that side because that's her property. And if she sees any of my snow on her property, she'll sue us." She's already sued me twice for other things. She's just not a nice lady. And so we had to pick it up, carry it all the way over to this side of my property. And I said, "Throw it as far as you can, because if you get this berm higher than you can throw, your snow is going to fall back into the driveway." And so we had to really don't let go of your shovel. You're going to have to go find it. We never did, but I cannot thank you guys enough. Thank you very much for coming to my rescue, because I had still been there today.
So I want to take this opportunity to thank, well, I'm thankful for God. God is the great I am. He is unchanging. His love for us is beyond anything we could possibly understand. And because he is unchanging and his love is also unchanging, he is a God of justice. And his justice can be trusted. He doesn't waffle. He's not capricious. He knows us through and through, and his righteousness endures forever, and we can trust him because of his justice, of his love, and of just who he is and always will be. And I am so thankful that I can see God in each and every one of you. You may not have realized, but we had a visitor for just a few minutes during our Thanksgiving. And she listened to a few of you for a while, and she said, "I belong here." She left, but I think she'll come back. It's wonderful to see God in all of you. Thank you.
I just want to say that I'm a newbie. used to be a newbie. I don't think I was as much of a newbie now, but I have never been so, felt so gloriously blessed as when I walked in the first time to this church. And the welcoming that I got, and the people that were interested in just one me. And I felt overwhelmed by it. I had been looking for this for 3 years because I had moved from my life being in Kansas and the wheat fields and the people there and my church and family. And as you get a little bit older in life, it's harder to make friends all over again. And you've left all a great abundance of friends. And your whole life changes. It's a lonesome period that I was going through, even if I was going to this one church. But I wasn't leaving it with any, I wasn't inspired by it. I go away with just an empty feeling. You can't leave this church with an empty feeling. You are just filled up for the whole week. And I thank you for each one of you. You're such a blessing to me. I don't know how we could have better people than Tom and Spencer. They're wonderful. Thank God for them, and thank God for my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, first off, I just wanted to thank God for the miracle that he has been, or that he gave me in my life. I think of where I was and where we were headed and what God has done. It is truly, truly amazing, and I feel so blessed. I am blessed to be married to Steve for over 40 years, and I'm grateful for the traveling companion, the walking buddy, and just the way that he takes care of me. He really is a blessing to me. And I'm also thankful for my children and my grandchildren, and just the family God has given me. It is such a blessing. You know, when you've been away for a couple months, it gives you a real big appreciation for, because the things that you miss, and I really missed my family time, and, you know, we have dinner together every Sunday night. I'm grateful that they put it on their calendar and that they're there. That is such a blessing to me. And the grandchildren, Emily was texting me on my trip. What an encouragement. God has just brought so many blessings. But I also am so grateful for this church. Some of the things that I missed while we were away was the time of singing. Oh, it is so wonderful to be here and to sing with you. It is always so good, and it just lifts my soul. So I'm grateful for that. While we were away, we only celebrated the Lord's Supper once. Oh, what so many churches are missing. The Lord's Supper is such an opportunity to give worship to God and thankfulness for what he has done and continues to do. It is such a great reminder. And I am grateful for this body. I just love you all, and it is so wonderful to come home.
Well, I hate to draw this too close, but it is 12:13. I am encouraged, though, that now I can say that everyone who's ever done a sermon here has gone over time. So I don't have to feel so alone in that. Just joking. Thank you for all of you that shared, and perhaps more would like to. But you could go on the other side during lunch, and you could share those blessings that you had intended to maybe say in here. But I give thanks to God for you, as I was so blessed by the giving of thanks for the church family, particularly. That's so encouraging. So, Lord, we are thankful. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life, laid it down so they might take it up again and provide forgiveness of sins and eternal relationship with you, to know you through him. Wow, what a blessing. Thank you for this time of giving thanks. I pray that it would be what would characterize us as a church and individual believers day by day. That it wouldn't just be a Thanksgiving week, but we would be Thanksgiving people each and every day, giving glory to you for all that you do for us, all that you are to us. Thank you for the food that we're going to eat, your provision of it, for the servants that have put it together, and the sweet fellowship that we'll have around the table. So all glory to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.